Makabucha Day Part 2. Once we're Dhamma practitioners, it's extremely important to understand the mind that is at the base, the mind that is the stable observer. Some people don't learn this aspect of mental training. And so when they don't learn about this, all they do is focus in on specific spots in their body or focus in on the mind, but don't have the correct stable observer. That's what samadhi really is. Samadhi doesn't mean meditation. Samadhi means stable observation. It's not a mind that moves this way, moves that way, slips down into things, wavering here and there. That's the mind without samadhi. Normally our mind doesn't have samadhi, and so it's moving this way and moving that way. The samadhi of just knowing one object and keeping the mind there isn't sufficient. Everybody can do that. People think that that's oneness of mind, and they think that they've achieved something in Buddhism, but they haven't. That's not true oneness of mind. Oneness of mind is that the mind is in that stable position and doesn't bond with this, bond with that. It's a different quality of mind. The stable observer is the knower, fresh and awake. And there are two ways to achieve this mind. One is through jhana, or absorption concentration. When the mind, when the breath, watching the breath then turns to the light, and then the mind becomes concentrated with the light. Until the light then disappears, and all that's left is the knowing. That's in the second jhana, where the mind is the knower. The scholars in the scriptures, there, the Buddha outlined that in the second jhana there's a quality called ekotipawa, which is a oneness of mind, translated as a oneness of mind. And the scholars read that and they don't understand, why does this oneness of mind happen in the second jhana? Aren't people totally concentrated by the first jhana? So they don't, aren't practitioners, so they don't understand what the Buddha is talking about. All they do is remember it. So this is called ekotipawa. When we come out of the second jhana and come back into the regular life, that level of samadhi remains as a stable observer to practice the Dhamma, and it can last up to 7 days. It's hard to find this stuff in the scholarly papers in that, because they don't understand it. But let's not knock scholarly work, because it has its place. It has an importance to it. But once we're able to see true phenomena, and we go back and look at some of the higher teachings of the Buddha, we'll be able to understand it when before we really couldn't understand it. The Abhidhamma in particular. So if we're able to achieve the second jhana or higher, then we'll have a very strong samadhi as the stable observer. And the other way that we achieve this stable observer is for those who aren't good at concentration in this way. And what we do is we see the mind that isn't stable, the mind that moves here and there. Right now we are, our mind moves out to all the objects that it sees. And so we can see the mind moving out to all the objects. We're still engulfed in the world, and so the mind moves out to this and to that. And when there are things that we don't like that happen, and we have negativity that arises in the heart, or resistance, aversion that arises in the heart, we become totally manipulated by it. We're totally engulfed in it. And when we're curious about something, we want to know something, as you can see, we're totally immersed in this curiosity. Instead, let's see the mind moving to these things. The reason why the mind moves out is because of the hindrances that are the hindrances to samadhi that the Buddha outlined, the five hindrances. Sense desire, ill will, laziness, doubt. When we're able to see these things arise, instead of being slave to them, but being able to see them and see the mind move towards them, then we start to gain true samadhi. But it'll only gain samadhi just for a moment, and then it'll move out again. And then we know again. And then it moves out again. And we know again. If the mind moves out and we know it, out and we know it, out and we know it, again and again and again, it'll start to feel like we have this stable observer all day long. And those that are arahants, most of them practiced in this second way that are mentioned. Most of them aren't that skilled and weren't that skilled at the high levels of jhana. They practiced in their daily life, seeing the mind move out again and again. And this samadhi eventually arises all by itself. It's a knower that has no intention in it. If the knower still has intention in it, then it's tight and not useful. So we let the mind move. We let the mind become unaware, and then we know so. And then it's a very organic, very natural observer that isn't intentional and thus isn't tight, isn't riddled with craving. Trying to keep this state or keep that state, keep the observer, is too much of a burden, too much of a responsibility. It's heavy. Just let it go, let the mind move naturally and know after the fact. We'll see that every phenomena comes and every phenomena passes. If there's a cause for it to arise, it arises. When its cause is no longer there, it falls away. There's no one that can control this. This is anatta, the truth of non-self. The truth of dukkha means that whatever it is that is there is being oppressed and is it being oppressed and dissolving as a result. That's the truth of dukkha. The truth of anicca is that phenomena are coming and going, changing all the time. Impermanence. Can we force the mind to not be angry? No. If we can, it's just out of trying to push it away, some sort of concentration tactic. When we have strong enough concentration, the mind goes into jhana, there are no defilements or impurities in jhana. They have been subdued for a while. There's no sense desire anymore, because the sense doors have been closed. If we are those who develop jhana and close their sense doors, and they haven't learned the Buddha's teachings yet, then they won't be able to achieve enlightenment. They won't gain wisdom. They will think that the mind is something permanent. The mind is something eternal. And it's true according to their experience, but they haven't seen the truth yet. Manat submitted his homework. He's a very good meditator. And he says, why is everything so still? But the truth is, the mind or consciousness isn't still. It occurs and drops away. It occurs again and drops away. It occurs and drops away. It's just that it's the same state arising and falling, has the same characteristics, and it appears to be long and still, but it isn't. This is a subtlety. The mind is fabricating and forming things all the time. So let's remember this clearly. Let's not fabricate anything new, fabricate any other states, fabricate anything else. It's fabricating enough already. Just see what it's fabricating. Sometimes we're fabricating good states, sometimes we're fabricating not good states. But either way, the shadow, what is hiding in the background, is ignorance, whether we're forming good things or bad things. So let's be strong, but let's not try to stay awake and aware all the time. No, in a relaxed way. And that's enough for today.